Good morning, church. It's good to be in the house of God. Amen. I want to say thank you to Brother Dan and his wife for a tremendous. Well, if I hadn't set an alarm, I mean, I'd be up by now, but I'd have been late for Sunday school. I mean, I slept very good. I thank you. I felt at home. And anybody that'll ask, do you drink coffee or do you need creamer? They're my kind of people. Amen. And so I enjoy coffee, but it's good. I'm thankful to be able to travel to any part of the country and be able to enjoy fellowship with other believers. Amen. Whether it's southern or northern or midwestern or some states have their own personality. I'm thankful to the Lord Jesus Christ being our Savior. Within Genesis to Revelation and King James, amen. I'm thankful we can fellowship and be of one mind, one accord. But it's a joy just to meet my brothers and sisters in the Lord all over the country. And I have family that live in Nantyglo, Pennsylvania. And I've asked some folks, you know where Nantyglo is? They said, what? And I said, well, never mind. But I do have a distant family there. But it's a joy to be here. And my wife and children say hello, send their love, and thanks as well for letting us just reload and get plugged back in, amen, to serving the Lord. What I do, those who may not have been here during Sunday school, just in the next minute and a half, just want to give a refresher real quick. I'm the field director for the Faith Baptist Church Philippine Ministry out of Faith Baptist Church in Shelby, North Carolina. And we get the joy of being able to travel and raise awareness and support for the Philippine pastors with our ministry. And these men have been trained by Pastor Sam Medina, who was saved as a young college student. And before he was saved, he was running guns for the communist army and messages for their officers. And he thought he was living the life, but he found that life to be empty. And when he got saved, the Lord called him to preach, and he went to Bible college, and from then to now has planted 29 churches in his life and trained men, and then 12 of those are self-supporting, and 17 are working towards being self-supporting. And these families live on $50 to $200 a month total. And so these men are given a time frame by Pastor Sam, which he keeps an eye on, 3 to 5 years. You need to be self-supporting. And this is not a retirement. If I think you're lazy, if I think you're misusing the ministry, you're done. You're stopped. And, you know, you need to take some time to get right. And so we're thankful for what the Lord's doing across the Philippines. And it's a joy to meet other brothers and other ministries there. And I'm thankful to be part of what the Lord has us doing and seeking to be what William Carey was in India, Pastor Sam is doing. And we get to be the Luther Rice. Luther Rice was a gentleman in the 1700s who got sick, had to come home from India, felt called to missions, but because of his health had to come home. And so he traveled the rest of his life, raising support for William Carey to continue in India and other missions projects. And over 15 Bible colleges started, and thousands have learned what missions was worldwide and at home. And I believe both are important. And thank the Lord, the gospel is to everyone. Amen. And so, regardless of country or creed, but Lord Jesus, he died for all. Amen. Let's look to the Word of God. Amen. To this morning, I want to look to Luke chapter 7. And I'd like to read Luke chapter 36, verse 48. And something that I have found is not contained in a specific country or culture, but that of the human heart. That's the subject of forgiveness. And as I've traveled, I've found that, you know, it's something I have to work on myself. It's something that things that have taken place in my life, and we each have a story, but things that I have to realize, apart from Christ, I cannot forgive. I can't find it in my heart to forgive. But even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven me. And so I find this subject where, what's it have to do with missions? Everything. And it's because of the forgiveness found in Jesus Christ, I'm here today. Amen. And I want to look to Luke chapter 7 for what the Lord would have us today. Verse 36, the Bible reads, "And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to rest. And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, He spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors, and the other owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. He turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore, I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Verse 48. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for the word of God. And Lord, without you, I fail. Lord, I pray you to fill me with your spirit. I pray the Holy Spirit, you convict the heart. Lord, I cannot. But Lord, I pray that the power of this passage, well, Lord, would speak to each heart. Lord, I think of the salvation of Miss Delilah and the cancer there. Lord, I pray this would be used for her salvation. Lord, those dear sister that had a bar put into her body to help for healing, I pray you give grace for the family and for her healing. Lord, many of those that had salvation needs and heavy hearts, Lord, I pray. Lord, that you give comfort. I pray you get the glory. And I pray there be much praise and honor in how you see fit to work in each of their lives. Lord, they all have a name. You died for them all. Lord, I pray you'd work there. And I pray you'd work here this morning as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to preach on the subject, the freedom of forgiveness. The freedom of forgiveness. I was introduced to a gentleman in the Philippines. I was told about him, and they Facebook messaged me his picture and story, and I found it a little hard to believe, but then I met him, and I was introduced to Brother Flores, F-L-O-R-E-S, not Flowers, but Flores, and not my accent, it's how it's spelled. And so I met Brother Flores, and I said, hello, sir, how are you? He said, hello. He's very quiet, very shy, just you wouldn't even know he's in the room. And they had preaching, and I was there all week, and he was just quietly, faithfully there. And Pastor Nelvin Mortega introduced me to him, and I said, Pastor Nelvin, who is Brother Flores? Oh, last November when you come, he gets saved, and he keep coming back to Bible study. And he want to meet you. I said, well, that's very kind of him. Amen. And I said, Brother Flores, I'm Joshua. Hello, Pastor. And they know I tell them, I'm not a pastor. I'm a preacher. Yes, Pastor. I said, okay. And so they say, Pastor Josh, God forgive me 12. I said, well, praise the Lord. You're pretty good. God forgave me of a lot more than just 12. No, he forgave me 12 times. Wow. Hey, praise the Lord. Amen. And maybe in the culture, we're speaking English, but no comprende. He said, no, God forgive me of all 12. I say, oh, Brother Pastor Nelvin, help me. Hello, hello. He said, oh, Brother Josh, God forgive him of all 12 men. I'm like, yeah, okay, still in the dark. Hello, English. Oh, God forgive him from killing. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. God forgive him. From 12, his gang of 12? No, he killed 12. Now, this man's in his 80s. But I shook his hand, and I was like, ha, you ever breathe in deep when someone gets that hand and they think, I need to crush your hand. Hello, sir. Hello, how are you? Oh, you know, he just quietly, hello. He just started doing like the slow compression of my drugs. I was like, wow. And I said, tell me the story on this man. And Pastor Nelvin and I talked later, and he said he was a bodyguard for President Marcos back in the day. And in his prime, they'd say, I have a thing. I mean, it was almost like Godfather-like. I have a thing. And the thing was, take care of the man. He said, I take care of, no more problem. And time after time, throughout his life, he would assassinate the man he was pointed towards or told about. He'd say, no problem. You know what? He kept telling me, God forgave me 12 times. God forgive me 12 times. I did not know all my life. I thought God could not forgive me. I cannot do enough good for all my bad. But then he heard the gospel. And he learned God can forgive me of 12. The forgiveness that was found for Brother Flores is available for you and I. Brother Joshua, I did not kill 12 men. I hope not. I haven't met a lot of serial killers. I think that's my first. But you know what? He found God can forgive him. Amen. God changed his life. You know his son? His son's not a believer yet, but he's coming to church. His son went another direction in life. Thank the Lord. But the gospel's already having an impact. Why? The freedom found in forgiveness. I see, first of all, number one here, the scene that was taking place. We see here that one of the Pharisees desired that he would eat with him. Do you realize of the 28 times or so that the word Pharisees is mentioned in Luke, every single time they are mentioned, they're giving Jesus trouble. Every time the word Pharisees is mentioned in Luke, they're giving Jesus opposition. Can I tell you today, we still have Pharisees. We still have people giving trouble to the work of the Lord. Do you realize Jesus Christ, God incarnate in the flesh, was in this man's home? The man didn't even realize who he was. He ignored who the claims and the statements that were made. He said, this man, I got a guy. I got a man in my home. That's exactly how this Pharisee, he thought a whole lot of himself. He said, I got a tie on. I got a suit on. I got my shoes on. Down south, they get excited about what kind of socks you got on. Like, I got these socks. And I don't even think my black socks match, but they're both dark. I'm excited I got socks on my feet. I ain't about to show you my socks. But down there, I got my cuff links matching. I even got cuffs. Yeah, I got buttons. I got cuff links to match my squire. What in the world? What? I got a squire. Pastor Condon, they got these things you stick in the suit coat, little napkins or tissues or hankies or whatever y'all call them up here. I got a square matching my tie. I'm happy my wife picks my clothes out. What do you mean you got a square? I don't know what you... But they get all absorbed in themselves and they start thinking, I'm something. And down in Guyana, you realize real quick, we all humans. Everybody gets angry in traffic. Everybody gets upset when you're at a police checkpoint. Everybody gets tempted to get bribed upon. But we start getting stopped at police checkpoints every time. Pastor, pull over. What? You just said, Pastor, why I got pulled over? Pull over. Now, when he has an AR-15 or an M-16 or a Mossberg 12-gauge 5-and-a-hole, 1-barrel pistol grip, you pull over. And I'd pull over, and I'm like, why? I thought we paid all the fees and everything, you know? Like legitimate fees. I'm not talking about bribing. We didn't bribe. I said, Pastor, it's hot, brother. You're not kidding. It's hot. It's just hot. I mean, I saw three mosquitoes hitchhiking. It's so hot. And they say, Pastor, we thirsty, boy. We thirsty. I'm thirsty, too. I'm so glad you said that. Yeah. Pastor's glad we thirsty, boys. Boy, they all start coming around my window. Yeah, Pastor, I'm thirsty too, you know. My mama thirsty, my daddy thirsty. I say, y'all buying sodas? Pastor, go on now. Just go on. Just go. You know what? After a little while of being in Guyana, you could get a mentality of, I'm better than they are. But you realize we're not. We all got sin. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Heaven help us when we start thinking we're something and we start giving ourselves airs and we start giving ourselves, I'm not one of those. We had a dear lady. We were going door to door and we met her, and there was a grandma, and I met this grandma. I said, ma'am, Pastor Josh, Faith Baptist Church, and Sophia here, and I want to invite you to our service. And you're exactly who we're looking for. She started crying heavily. And I asked my teenage wife, did I say something wrong? No, Pastor. She just said, oh. I said, ma'am, what's wrong? She started telling me the story where there's a really nice church up the road. I mean, the diplomats parked there. They had security at the door, a beautiful property. She got dressed one Sunday. She walked about a half a mile to go to that nice church with fans inside, nice everything. The man at the door stopped her. Said, "You can go home." She said, "Why? I put my only nice dress on and I bathe this morning and I do my hair and then I why? You're not what we're looking for." And he sent her back home. So when the SWAT man comes to her door of a 10x10 home, she says, "There's no way I can go to yours." I said, "Ma'am, you're exactly who we're looking for. Why? They got a heartbeat. They have a soul. And God thought enough of them to say, hey, I'm going to send my son to die for you. Hey, there's value in a soul. Why? God paid with his own blood for these souls. Hey, there was a scene here where there's a Pharisee who thought, what is this in my house? May our doors be welcome to any sinner that comes in. I don't approve of a drunkard's lifestyle. The Bible says it's wrong. I don't approve of sinful living and just the abominations that's being pushed upon our society. I go with God on that. Sin is wrong. But hey, how are they going to know unless they hear? How shall they hear without a preacher?" Yeah, amen. And at the job site, or at the factory, or at the office, or in that industrial hallway, you're exactly who God wants to tell them, hey, there's a God that loves you. I don't approve of the lifestyle. We had whoremongers come to service. We had drunkards come to service. I had a lady in the church that later we had to deal with her being demon-possessed. But before that, when she was in her somewhat of the mind she had, she said, I want a Christian wedding. I said, "That's great. Boy, you and Mark need to get married. You've been living together. Both of you say you're saved, but you need a wedding." "Oh, no, not Mark. You've been coming to church and sitting with him. You live in his home, and I'll stop there." No, not Mark. "Rachel, who you won't get married?" "Oh, my husband in the jungle." "Does your husband know about Mark?" "No, don't tell him, Pastor, he'll get mad." I'm thinking, oh, boy. Rachel, we need to go back a couple steps. "Are you saved?" "Oh, I love Jesus. You know, I know. She started mumbling and she wouldn't call him out as Lord. I said, "Rachel, I can't do that. I can't approve that." You know what? Folks that I didn't approve of their behavior, only Jesus Christ can change that heart, friend. Amen. Hey, whether they got tattoos or you don't like how they look or that's not who I spend time with, but do you share the gospel with them? Not approve the sin. No. Not get cozy in the middle of their parade down the streets of the city per se. No, I'm saying, have you shared the gospel with them? Or is the scene at Simon's house reflect that of your heart? The scene here, by seeing verse 37, "And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner." I see the scene. I see the sinner. She was an outsider because of failure and engaged in certain occupations that should still cause shame today. Go out throughout the night to sell her body for money. Hey, she needs Christ just like the child who may have been raised in a preacher's home needs Christ. Hey, but she knew she was a sinner. Jesus even said, "Her sins, which are many." Jesus knew she is a sinner. The thing is, she knew she had needs. She knew she had issues. She knew that she was broken. She knew what she was. She was a sinner in need of a Savior. And here she was in the presence of Jesus Christ. And we find her weeping. Christian, in all of our intellect, in all of our education, in all of your life of knowing how church goes, have we been found weeping for souls like this sinner that was weeping in the presence of Jesus? I ask you, when was the last time you have been found weeping, praying before God for souls that are heavy on your heart? Hey, there was a sinner and she knew it. Each one of us, when we get saved, we got to realize, I am a sinner before a holy God. But she was a sinner. Hey, I tell you, I've been traveled a little bit and realized, hey, there's bitter scorn sometimes looked. I've been in churches, my wife's not blonde hair, blue eyes, born in Georgia. She's born a little deep south, Southern Caribbean. She's born and raised in Trinidad. And we've been in churches where they're polite. But there's that scornful look. It's part of it. We know. We get it. But you know what? We're human. She knew she was a sinner. And the looks that Simon was given to her. What manner of woman? He couldn't even say, we don't even know her name. He said, what manner? What behavior? The disgust, the disdain of, oh, don't touch me with your dirtiness. He was covered in self-righteous sin. What manner of woman is this that touches him? I'm thankful today I got a Savior that wants to be touched with our infirmities. I'm thankful there's a Savior that says, come boldly to the throne of grace. I don't have to tiptoe in like I'm going to the president's office of hello, sir, and be nervous. No, I can boldly run in and say, Lord, this is how I fail. This is what I'm thinking. This is how my heart is just pleading out to you and all of this. And I can unload till I have no more breath. And God says, okay, I hear you. You're not frustrating me. You're not wasting my time. You're not making me feel ill of this incessant noise of you speaking to me. No, I got time. I have time for you. Friend, the Lord's got time for you. Amen. Here's a Savior. He wants to know about you. He knows you already, but the problem is we need to know ourselves in the reflection of Christ. We see the sinner that she was, but then the sorrow that took place. It says, behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner. And when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping. She had not even began to start washing his feet with her tears, but she stood in the room there weeping. And this word weeping is the same word that's used for Mary and Martha when her brother Lazarus died. It was the same word that's used in Acts 21:13, and weep and to break mine heart, the apostle Paul said when they knew he was going off to die. They wept, and this woman there is weeping. She doesn't care what people think anymore. I'm done putting on the facade. I'm done putting on a show. I'm just going to let you know, Lord, here I am. And I'm here in your presence. And I don't care what people think about me anymore. And she just poured out her heart, weeping. I see it as weeping, to cry vehemently. And as weeping led to worship. I was reading, and some fellows were writing and saying that when a woman in Jesus' day would let down her hair. Y'all fellas know when y'all was chasing your wife. I ain't going to talk about any girlfriends you've had. The wife you're with now, just stay there. And she makes herself shoe her hair. Hey, honey, this, how these shoes make me look? She does a little hair thing or does a little twirl. Or you know how some wives do not. I learned not to use the word all. You couch more often than not. So some, it's just sashay their hair. In Jesus' day, when they would let down their hair, it was like being immodest in their presence. Well, she let down her hair because they weren't sitting at a table in chairs. In Jewish custom, many times if the food tray was here, they would be on there, they'd be sitting like this up against pillows, and all their feet would be gathered around. And they're just sitting. So when you read later of John lying on the breast of Jesus, they were laying like this on big pillows, and there would be food brought to them, and they were in a seated position where, hey, they were vulnerable. But here this woman, she got in the presence in the center. She got near the feet of Jesus. Hey, you get near somebody's feet, you can drop kick them. Now, Jesus, no, he's not, but I'm saying, if I get near somebody's feet, I'm getting low, friend. I'm getting humble. I'm getting low, and I make myself vulnerable to if things were to go wrong, I could be harmed. But we need to make ourselves vulnerable so that God can use us. She got low. How, when's the last time you got low for God? And she got low, and she let out her hair. It wasn't so she could moisturize his feet. Well, there wasn't a tear that come out of one eye. You just start breathing in and out deep enough and fast enough where a tear might pop out your eye there. No, she wept and washed the feet of Jesus. Amen. Jesus has been walking around Israel. You walk around Israel in sandals and your feet get real dirty. I've been overseas in Iraq and those sandstorms come through, and even when you turn the AC off, sand seems to just leave a silt on everything. And her tears washed that sand and dirt off of Jesus' feet.
She didn't care what people thought no more, she said. He lets me get near him. He cares for my soul. He knows. Hey, the world needs to see a broken Christian sometimes, friend. I have it all together. I'm a man. I don't ever. This woman didn't care. Hey, this human before God said, my heart is broken and I'm done putting on the facade. The world is hungry for something real. And I go to the store and see all kind of foods for healthy. This one's farm raised. Oh, that's great. This one's grain raised. Oh, that's even better. This one's grain raised on the open field. Oh, that's wonderful. Then I find out they're inventing stuff in the laboratory for fake meat. I said, man alive, you just give me something real. Throw the slab of meat on there. Let the blood run. My grill's good. It's all right. I like real. As a Christian, we should desire nothing greater than being real before God, where people say, I may not agree, but that man knows God. I may not agree with how she thinks, but that woman walks with a graciousness. Only God could help that woman live with that man. Hey, they are real. When people look to the families and individuals of Grace Baptist Church, do they see a real, genuine, sincere, holy love for our community? I see the scene. I see the sinner. I see the sorrow. The worship. You notice Jesus said, you know, Simon, you're giving me beans right now about this woman. You know, in our culture, Simon, you're supposed to wash my feet when guests come in. When guests come in, you're supposed to get some oil just to, well, I found my wife, she's born and raised in Trinidad, and she's got like 800 cubic feet of hair squeezed in right here. And oil, and that hair sort of does its own thing sometimes. But you put oil in that hair and it makes it manageable. I need the Holy Spirit in my life so that I can be manageable. Amen. See, we as Christians, we sometimes try to do it in and of ourselves, and we get dry, we get dirty, we get unmanageable, and we get to where we got a stink about us because we're trying to do it ourselves. Jesus said, Simon, everything you're supposed to do, this woman's done. I'm thankful. No matter what history we got, no matter what baggage we might think we have, God says, you're exactly what I want to have working through your life. I'm going to make your life manageable through the Lord Jesus, through myself. I'm going to have things where my daughter, she's 8, and her hair is about to almost her kneecaps on it when it's coming down. And she wakes up in the morning, and I think a giraffe just went in there and did a sidekick drop around through the elephant, and she'll get her shower, and then she'll come out all clothed, and she'll say, Daddy, can you comb my hair? And that's what we do. I comb my daughter's hair, and I'll hold it, and I'll try to get that thing. And I've seen intersections, but I've never seen 8 inches squared of knots and hair. And I'm thinking, I'm not going to shave your bald, but I'm praying about how to tell your mother I did. And then trying to get this, you know, hair out. You know what? My wife says, hey, let me get that oil in there. I'm thankful God takes that which cannot be taken apart, that which cannot be fixed with man. He says, oh, that's exactly where I want to work. Amen. Hey, the scope of this forgiveness. Which of them will love him most, whom he forgave most? How many of us have forgotten how deep God's forgiven? How much God's forgiven? As a teenage boy from then to now, my family got out of church. My parents divorced. My mother got a boyfriend. She was raped and had a forced abortion. You know what? There's a lot of baggage sometimes. Only God can put it back together. Amen. My father took his own life. Had a stillborn son when we were newly married. We were married, and about a year and a half later, we found out she was pregnant. Stillborn son, Christmas Day. Buried him New Year's Eve. You know what? There's sometimes knots of unmanageable situations where only God get the Holy Spirit and the Word of God there to heal it and have it over time come to His glory. Amen. Can I tell you today, that same mama met a gentleman that stayed pure all his life. They got married.
They've been happily married, serving the Lord now 18 years and working in a church in Maine, leading souls to Jesus. Hey, that daughter that ran away, got a boyfriend, got a child out of wedlock, went running and stole a car out of Bible college. Hey, she's in church, local now. She's in a local church, Baptist church now. Her daughter wants to go on mission trips with me to the Philippines. Or the husband she has from that child that she had are now married and faithfully attending church. Hey, God can take that which is just repugnant and that which is just makes us just curl our face together. He can take that, and when they get saved, hey, when they realize it doesn't matter what people think of me, hey, God, I want you to work in my life in obedience to the Word of God, and God can take that which was a sinner and save them and have them serve and reach some more sinners for Christ. The scope, which of them will love Him most? I like history, and I was reading about Abraham Lincoln, and I learned something, Pastor Codner. When I'm up north of about Charlotte, North Carolina, don't say President Jefferson Davis. Just say Jefferson Davis. I was in Maryland at a pastor's church there for a meeting, and we were eating, and it's at the beginning of the week, and I learned if I'm going to say it at the end of the week, not the beginning when you're up north. But I said, yeah, President Jefferson Davis was over at the fort there, Fort Eustis area. He stopped, looked over at me. I'm like, oh, dear. I was going to go to Guyana. And he said, did you say president? I said, he was for a little while, you know. But he didn't like that. But I was reading about President Lincoln. And when he died, and how that Mary Todd was in the Oval Office, and she was letting that Secret Service agent have it. She wasn't saved, and she was letting the world know, that's what I think of you for letting that man kill my husband. And she just put it all out there on the table. Here's a big old man just standing there bawling. He loved President Lincoln. And she said, I can almost forgive you for what you did, but I'll never forgive the man that killed my baby. I can't forgive him. She stood there sobbing, and that security, Secret Service stood there sobbing, and the little boy crawled out of the desk and stood up. That's President Lincoln's oldest son. He said, Mama, Papa would forgive anybody. Mama, he'd forgive anybody, Mama. And that little boy, there in the Oval Office, reminded Mama and that Secret Service agent of a timeless truth that we have on a whole nother level, a whole nother spectrum, greater than anything in the world, is that our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, Almighty God, will forgive anybody. Amen. And He'll forgive you. He's forgiven me. And the greatest freedom I found wasn't when I came home from being deployed to Kirkuk, Iraq. It wasn't when I come home from Guyana after having our house invaded three different times and I gave chase to a couple of them and the police as well. Hey, and the greatest freedom I found was not then or when I came home from Iraq. Or no, it was when I got saved and I didn't have to carry that sin no more. I didn't have that weight on my shoulders. I didn't have that pressure on my chest. I didn't have that fact of I'm going to hell apart from God. No, when I got saved, I'm free. Free at last, children, free at last. Hey, there's no greater freedom than found in the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. He said unto her, thy sins, oh, I'm sure there were many. And you know what? I don't need to know what they were. I don't need to know what yours are. He don't need to know what mine are. But He said, thy sins are forgiven. Amen. It was God that told her that. Luke 5:21 tells me, who can forgive sins but God alone? Oh, they were right. Ephesians 4:32, even as God for Christ's sake, which I mentioned, hath forgiven you. 1 John 2:12, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. Colossians 2:13, having forgiven you all trespasses. If God can forgive her, if God can forgive Brother Flores for 12 times, God can forgive you, friend. You say, well, I've been saved a while, but me and God have an understanding. Yeah, that's a red flag. You need to ask the Lord to forgive you for that fellowship to be restored. I'm thankful when we get saved, we become a child of God, and I can't undo my birth. Watching my children reborn, I just illuminate,
hey, that process cannot be reversed. It's God that offered. It's God that keeps our salvation. Amen. When He saves us, it's not about my grip. It's not about me holding on. And no, it's God for everlasting life. Hey, that forgiveness is available. Do we take it for granted? Do we only want to offer to those who may look like us or talk like us or dress like us? Or do we offer that forgiveness to all? When I travel, I got these John and Romans on the left side of my... You're supposed to put your water or something on the side door. I got the John and Romans there, and I hit these drive-thrus getting food on the way up here. Y'all need a Chick-fil-A up here, by the way. And I'll go to a drive-thru, Chick-fil-A or Bojangles, or you pick them. They all need Christ. And I said, man, we want to give you some hope. I like to invite people I don't know to come visit because we love strangers. They have the strangest look on their face. Like nobody's ever told them that. You know why? I don't want to get to heaven. I'm glad I didn't go to hell, amen. But I don't want to walk by a line of people. That girl with that cashier who said, what is it you do? And I hem and haw. Well, what's that there in your car? Oh, it's just some trash. Hey, what are you looking at? We need to have an answer, friend. Amen. The greatest forgiveness. The greatest freedom we'll ever have is found in Jesus Christ. You say, I ain't murdered 12 people. Maybe not. I haven't done this sin or that sin. The Bible says for all have sinned. We need Christians that are real and have a God-given desire to share that truth. For hey, there's a Christ who died for you, who rose again the third day. He knows your name. We met for a reason. Friend, today, have you asked Christ to be your Savior? Has there been? See, I didn't write down the date. Do you remember where you were? I was in the furniture store of Chicago, Illinois, where my mama worked. And Derek led me to the Lord in the children's playroom there where the workers had their kids. Hey, you know what? I don't know what day it was, but I know Christ changed my heart. I found out, boy, I'm so glad. I had more fun asleep as saved than I did all my time awake for the devil. There's no greater freedom than being found in the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Have you been set free? Even as God, for Christ's sake. Let's pray. Lord, I'm so glad. You told that woman whose sins were many that sins are forgiven. Lord, I pray that we would have the same tenderness and look through the eyes of your Son when we meet everyone out and about. Lord, I pray that this community would continue to see real Christianity on display and in action here at Grace Baptist Church. Lord, maybe there's one here today that's dressed real nice, been very respectful, very kind. Lord, they in their heart know they never got saved. They know they've never asked you to save them. They've never made it personal. Lord, I know millionaires, but that don't mean they know me. Lord Jesus, I pray it'd be real today. You work in hearts in Jesus' name. Pastor Codner, if you'd come at this